Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very excited to see everyone here. It's always a great blessing to get to worship God together, to study his word. And today we're going to talk about being a people of thanks. I got a new font for this week, which I'm very excited about. If you want to ask me about it later, I would love to tell you all about it. I used one last week that I was all right with. This week, I'm feeling really happy about this one. So that's another reason to be thankful. We've got some good fonts on the screen. Today, we're going to talk about being a people of thanks. And just to give you a quick scope of what I'd like to accomplish this morning, so we can kind of keep track as we're going. What I want to do this morning is take a look at the New Testament Christians. Okay, we're just going to like look through the window at how they operated, what it was that they did in their service to God, and how it was all centered around thanksgiving to God and gratitude, right? We're just going to look at what they did, and then we're going to say, all right, how can we best do that, right? How did the very first followers of Jesus do it? And then we're going to say, what about us? Easy peasy, two parts. Is that all right with everyone? All right, first thing we want to look at today, we look at being a people of thanks, is that the first followers of Jesus were engulfed in gratitude. It was part of who they were, right? It wasn't just something that they did or something that they talked about every now and then. It was at the core of who they were. And you saw that in a few different ways. It was at the very core of their worship assemblies. And it was in the ways that they even spoke to each other, okay? And we're gonna see this just like we did ourselves this morning. Something I want us to think about up here is that practice makes permanent. I don't know if you've ever done any sports, maybe growing up in school or something, and you had a coach that said, like, you know, practice makes perfect. I had a coach who never said that. He always said practice makes permanent, because sometimes you can practice the wrong thing and then you're just like stuck doing the wrong thing over and over again. It doesn't necessarily mean you're good at it. It's just you've done it over and over and it's stuck in your head, right? So practice makes permanent. The habits that we build up become who we are, right? When you do something once, maybe it's inconsequential, but when you do it 50 times, it becomes pretty ingrained in you, right? So for us, we look at what the early Christians did, and practice made permanent. What is it that Christians do in the first century when they came together every week? They would worship together, and what is it that they did? But they would observe the Lord's Supper, and their worship was centered in thanksgiving to God, just like they observe the Lord's Supper, we did this morning, right? And I want us to pay very close attention to the language of the Lord's Supper. When we talk about the final Passover that Jesus celebrates with his disciples, we think about the Lord's Supper. There's a whole lot of emotions and thoughts baked into that idea, right? And the same for us, right? Maybe you're sitting in the pew this morning, and while we had the Lord's Supper, there's all sorts of thoughts running through your head. You're thinking, this is very, very serious. I need to focus. Maybe you're having trouble focusing, which is a very common thing. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking this is very solemn, right? It's very serious. Someone died for me. It's a big deal. Maybe you're feeling inadequate, right? That's a very common thing to feel that we can all relate to. You sit there in the Lord's Supper and you think, I'm not worthy of this, right? You think about maybe you failed Christ this week and that's on your mind. You think of all these different things with the Lord's Supper. But before anything else, what we need to never lose sight of is that when Jesus talks about the Lord's Supper, when he is there with his disciples, he uses language of thanksgiving. All right, so let's look at this. On the screen, I'll have the verses up here. Mark 14, this is when Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples. And when Mark tells this story, he says this way. As they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. When Jesus constitutes the Lord's Supper, when he lays this out for his disciples, he says, first thing we're going to do, before we eat this bread, before we drink any juice, very first thing, we need to say thank you. We need to be grateful for what we have, right? Luke records the same sort of thing. When Luke records the same event in Luke 22, it says, when he took bread, Jesus had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they'd eaten. He did the same thing, right? He gave thanks for what they had. And we do the same thing every week. It might get lost as there's like a swirl of thoughts in our head when we talk about the Lord's Supper, but we don't need to miss this, that every single week, what is it that God's people do, right? What is it that we do all together as a group? Well, first off, we say thank you. We're grateful to God for what he does for us. Like over and over and over, what is it that we all do together? Practice makes permanent, right? Week after week after week, we all pray together and we all say thank you for what you've done for us. It's a part of who we are, right? It's a part of who the early church was. It was all centered on this gratitude that the Lord's Supper of Jesus' sacrifice, it's all on Thanksgiving. Or what is it else that the church does when they come together to worship? In the first century, they did a whole lot of singing, right? Same way, we follow that pattern. We've got a couple of verses on the screen here for this one. Singing together. We've got Colossians 3, 16 and 17 up here. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is how we're told to worship, and this is how the early church worshiped. When we look at this passage, especially in our, I don't know what to call it, faith tradition, I don't know if that's the right phrase or not. If it's not, you can tell me afterward, and then next week I'll say, hey, remember last week when I said that? We'll get that sorted out. But in our tradition, we focus, one of the key things that distinguishes us from other groups of Christians is the way that we worship, right? You won't notice any instruments up here. We don't worship with instruments, right? And we'll look at passages like this, and we'll say, well, what is it that Paul writes about? What does this apostle say about worship? And he doesn't say anything about instruments, right? So we're not going to do it. We're not going to take that authority in our own hands. But what I'm afraid of is that sometimes we take so much interest in what's not in the verse that we miss what's actually in the verse, right? It's like, well, Paul doesn't say to worship with instruments, but what does he do? What does he does say to worship? How does he say to do it? He says, to sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, how? With thankfulness in your hearts. That's the number one way to worship. That's what Paul says, right? How do you sing? With gratitude. Because God has done so much for you. Because he does so much for you. And he will, right? All of our singing is centered around one idea. It's thankfulness. Even when we cry out for help, right? When we sing songs like, Be With Me, Lord. Even as we're asking God for things, for help, for support, we're thanking him for what he's already done for us, right? Even in all of these things, it's all centered on thankfulness. And then Paul like widens the scope, right? He's talking about singing and worship. And then in the next verse, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, like anything you talk about, any action that you do during the day, any task you're accomplishing, let all of it be done in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God. Everything you do is like soaked in thankfulness, right? That's what Paul's talking about here. How are you supposed to worship? Like if someone is to come in here into one of our worship assemblies that's never been here before, right? And it's like, what is the theme that they go away with? What is it that like they pick up on about our worship? If we're looking at scripture and how things should be, one of the first things people should be able to pick out is like, those people are really grateful. Like those people are thankful people. It's like you sing a song like Rob led this morning, like give thanks, like all of these things about thankfulness. And we pray together and what do we say to God? Thank you for what you've done. We talk to each other and what do? We thank each other for what they've done for us. We talk about things that God's done for us and how we're grateful. That should be like the theme of God's people, right? We look at passages like this. It's like, this is who they are. We see this not just in like formal worship, right? In the Lord's Supper, it's all about thanksgiving. In their singing, in worship assemblies, it's all about thanksgiving. And the early Christians took this even outside of the church building or the house they met in, right? I've got Acts 16:25 here. Paul and Silas are traveling around preaching. They've gotten to Philippi, and as usual, wherever Paul goes, there's like a riot, and he causes some big stink, right? They throw him in jail. He's sitting in jail, and this is what it says in Acts 16:25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. At midnight, right? This is, and that's like such a, in the story, as you're reading Acts 16, that's not like a main turning point of the story. Like, the story goes on, but it's like Luke wanted to note, like, you need to make sure you know this is what they were doing. It's not just when they're worshiping, where it's like an official sort of thing, where it's like, well, we're singing our thankful songs that are like printed in our songbooks, and we can kind of put that away after it's not Sunday anymore. Whatever situation Paul found himself in, when he's in prison, right, wrongfully so, at midnight, what is Paul doing? He's not sleeping. He's not sitting there like trying to whittle away out of his chains. He's not like digging a tunnel with a spoon. He's not sitting there talking about like how tough he's got it, right? He's not begging the jailer like, look, you got, this is a big misunderstanding. You got to get me out of here. Of all the things Paul could be doing, what is he doing at midnight? He's singing and he's praying to God. And like we looked at what Paul said earlier, like all of this singing is centered around thankfulness. Even in prison, Paul sings. He's grateful for what he has. This is who the early church was. They were people that were like built on thankfulness. And so this is what we see as this picture of the New Testament church. Christian culture is one of all-encompassing, constant thankfulness to God, especially in worship, right? Whether it's the Lord's Supper or the singing that we looked at, it's all about thankfulness. Or in everything that they do, right? We see that widened. It's not just about, well, it's Sunday, so I need to be thankful to God. I'm in prison. I got a really hard time right now, but still I'm thankful to God. It's a part of who they were, right? The founding principle of these Christians, it seems, is gratitude for what God's done. That like elicits a response from them, right? And what we see with Paul, as we're going to continue here, is that this was part of who he was, and it wasn't just about formal worship or the Lord's Supper or singing together with Christians. It was a part of who he was, and he shows that pattern in the way that he talks, right? And I want to look at that specifically just for a second. It's a manner of speaking for Paul. I'm about to throw up a ton of text on the screen, and hopefully you can't read it. I'm hoping the text is small enough where you can't, because I just want to impress you. That's the point of this slide, is to say, look at all the times Paul does this. Every time that Paul writes a letter, he follows the normal letter stuff where it's like, this is Paul and I'm writing to you guys. And then for almost every single letter that he writes, nearly every single one, he'll say, thanks be to God for who knows what. And I've got these reasons listed out here. He does it in Romans. Both the Corinthian letters we have, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, both Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. There's a couple that are left out on the Galatians. He's just kind of getting ready to give them an earful so he doesn't waste his time with any of that. But for all these other letters, he's saying the very first thing he says is, thanks be to God. And oftentimes, in almost all of these, he's thankful for the people he's writing to, right? And what I want us to realize about this, like the whole point I'm trying to make here, is that for Paul, this wasn't just like a show. This wasn't just like, well, this is how we should worship. Like this is officially kind of like sanctioned church action. They worshiped that way because that's the kind of people they were, right? It wasn't a symptom, it was like the source. It was the source of who they were. And for Paul, you see it like exploding like out of his mouth all the time. He like cannot help but be thankful all the time. It's like Jesus says, right? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If someone all the time has always got like this kind of pessimistic view of the cup is always half empty and they've always got something to complain about, or they've always got something that's like, well, this isn't quite the way it should be. If that's all the way they're talking all the time, that's showing something about like their heart, right? This person's someone who's discontented. This is someone who's kind of looking for problems. It's the opposite with Paul. This is the example that he's giving us. Every time he writes to someone, he's like, I thank God for your faithfulness. He writes to multiple people, to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. He says, I thank God because I've heard of your faithfulness. I hear other people talking about you serving God, and that lifts me up. Every time he talks to people, he can't help but thank God for them. And that's such a powerful way to speak to people. And we're going to look at that later in this lesson. Paul made it a practice to be grateful to God and to express it. It's not just something internal for him. It's something he talks about. What Paul does here is he shows us it's a way of life. Thanksgiving is not just something that we do. It's who we are. And he teaches about that specifically. Living Thanksgiving. I'm kind of getting an early jump. I think, was it 2 days ago, like the first day of fall? You guys know her very well. Ben's wife, Haley, a wonderful woman. Love Ben and Haley to death. She was posting about decorating her house for fall, because it was like officially fall, right? Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm getting the jump on it. So when it comes around in November and you don't have a lesson about Thanksgiving, it's because you got like the pre-release. We're just going to get it done and out of the way. Pumpkin spice sermons, ready to go. But it's this living Thanksgiving. It's not just an action. It's who they were. It's their character, right? It's not something that is like separate from them. And this is what Paul talks about a lot. One of the ways this is talked about for Paul in his letters is every season. All right, and this is the passage that Bruce read. If you'd open up your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 2, I want you to have this in front of you and to see it. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul says it this way. He says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. You know, we think a lot about this, and it's like, especially for a church where you have a lot of members who have been Christians for a long time, or maybe have been Christians for longer than a couple years, and it's like, well, how do you mature in your faith, right? How do you keep on growing? Or the theme for this year, how do you like increase your faith all this time? What Paul talks about, when he talks about being rooted and built up, he says, abounding in thankfulness. Abounding in it. Like, that's not really a word that we use a lot day to day. Maybe you do. If you do, I'm not trying to step on your toes on that. I don't use this word ever, unless I'm reading the Bible. I wouldn't have like a lot of papers on my desk and say, I'm abounding in papers. Like, that's just not the way I talk. Maybe a way to think about this is like overflowing with thankfulness. That's how you need to be. That's what Paul's talking about. He has this all the time, though. It's not just in one letter. Over in Ephesians, let's turn to this one as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 20, he says, giving thanks always and for everything. And he's preceded this in the verses we read, making these parallels. He says, you need to be wise, right? Be careful how you walk. You need to be someone who's wise. He says, you need to be someone who knows what the will of the Lord is, right? You need to be filled with the Spirit. We read all of these things in this passage. And then he talks about singing, like we read earlier in Colossians 3. And he finishes it off with this like astounding phrase in verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything, right? And you read this and you're like, yeah, but probably not everything, right? Like, this has got to be hyperbole. Probably not always. Like, there's some times where like you just really don't have much to be thankful for. But Paul doesn't put any like disclaimers on this. He doesn't put a little like footnote and say, actually not always, just most of the time. That's not what he says, right? Always and for everything. And this isn't just like talk. This isn't just like showing off or like being like all talk and not being able to follow through with it. This is who Paul is, right? Paul sits in prison and he sings and he prays to God. And then he writes this letter and he says, like, I've been there. You think about the person who wrote these words. This guy had plenty of stuff to be upset about, plenty of reasons to be frustrated with God about, right? Like all the suffering this guy goes through. And yet his reflection on it is not, you know, life's pretty hard and you have a good reason to be upset about it. This guy suffers a lot, and his final conclusion of it is you have to be thankful all the time. Like you have to be, because God is constantly pouring out for you. You have to be able to see that. Giving thanks always and for everything. When things are really good, you're grateful to God. When you're struggling, when things are scarce, you're grateful to God for what he gives you. In everything that happens, you're grateful, you're grateful, you're grateful. This is what Paul is stressing all the time. There's another passage that talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 5. In 1 Thessalonians 5, there's this little short phrase, trifecta, in verse 16 where we'll start. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you. This is what God wants from you and wants for you, is for you to be someone who's constantly grateful, right? You can't get knocked down from your gratitude because you see what God does for you. And part of what I want you to realize with this is like, we've hopped letters, right? We've been traveling with this. He talks about it in Colossians, in Ephesians, Thessalonians. We're going to look at Philippians here in a second. This isn't just like one thing that Paul wrote to one church. He's like, well, these people probably need this advice. Paul is telling this to like all the Christians he knows, right? Everybody he's talking to, he's like, you need to be grateful. You need to be thankful. This is like his message, right? And so we talk about this in every season, whether you're very blessed or whether you're very much struggling, you're grateful. Like that should not change. In fact, that's what's going to get you through the hard times and get you to appreciate the good times. It's because you are constantly grateful. Another aspect of this we need to think about as well is that even in petition, even when you're asking God for help, you do so in thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul has like a very powerful way of saying this in what I think is a somewhat well-known passage. In Philippians 4, in verse 6, he says this, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, when you're praying, another Bible word here, supplication, when you're asking for help, when you're petitioning God for help, you do so with thanksgiving. That's how you request things from God. You do so with thanksgiving. Even when you're asking for something, you say, thank you for what you've already given me. Thank you for what you're doing for me now. He mirrors this thought also back in Colossians. You turn a couple pages in your Bible. Colossians 4 and verse 2, he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, be watchful in it with thanksgiving." And this is like such a huge principle of asking for things with thanksgiving. Because it's more than just, like, this is not at all trying to play some game, right? Sometimes it's easy to think about prayer that way because we think about people that way sometimes, where it's like, well, what do I need to do to like garner God's approval, right? How can I best ask something from God so that he'll give me what I'm asking him for? But God doesn't play those games, right? It's not about like offering to God so that he'll give you, like, I'll give you something, God. I'll, like, flatter you. I'll praise you and thank you so that you'll give me what I want. Like, one writer says it this way. He says, God's not a cosmic vending machine where you press the right buttons and you hope to get exactly what you want. God's wanting a relationship with you. And he's teaching you about relationships with this wisdom. When you ask for things from God, you do so with thankfulness because it transforms the way you think. It changes your heart. When you're desperately in need, when you're asking God for something that's serious, and you say, God, I really need help with this. I'm very much struggling. My heart is heavy, right? I feel like I'm crushed under this, whatever it is. And while you're saying those words, you say, but thank you for this. Thank you that I'm alive today to ask you for these things. Thank you for these people in my life who hold me up. It changes the way you think, because even as you're struggling, you're forcing yourself to reflect on all the goodness that God has shown to you, right? It's not about, like, asking for things and hoping for God to return them. It's changing the way that you think, that even when I'm in need, I'm recognizing how blessed I am. That's the wisdom that Paul's sharing with us here. And I don't want it to be lost on us, right? Sometimes we can, like, maybe this is just for me. And if so, that's another thing you can talk to me about after the sermon. But it's like, you can categorize things in your prayer, in like your prayer life. It's like, all right, I'm going to pray for other people now. And that's like the only thing I talk about in my prayer. Or it's like, I need to thank God. So I'm going to pray and I'm just going to talk about things that I'm thankful for. Or I need something. And maybe it's not that categorized. Maybe it's just like in the moment. But we need to be careful that we're not praying that kind of like one-dimensional category where it's like, if the only praying we're doing is, God, give me this, I need this, please help me with this, we're going to be very unbalanced. When we fail to recognize what God has already given us and what he constantly does for us and will do for us, we're missing a huge aspect of that relationship. So what we see here is that we're grateful for all things and all circumstances. Even when we're asking for help, we're grateful people. And there's some pretty stiff warnings about ingratitude. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but it is definitely worth noting. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 2, Paul, at the end of his life, is writing to Timothy, and he's warning him. He's like, there's going to be a lot of things to watch out for, right? When I'm not here to guide you, here's what you need to have your eyes open for. And in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 1, it says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. And it's like, man, what an encouraging passage to read on a Sunday, right? It's like, don't you worry. In the last days, there's going to be all sorts of people like this. And like, there's all these, what I would consider like big problems, right? It's like lovers of self rather than lovers of God. It's like, that's a huge deal. People who are unholy. And then in the middle of that list, and no less important, people will be ungrateful. Paul says, watch out for that. You need to have your eyes open for that. Watch out. People will be ungrateful with the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, right? You come to worship, you praise God, you try and do the Christian thing, but you're not grateful, you're not godly. Gratitude is at the heart of it all. When Paul talks about like the Gentile pagan nations in Romans chapter 1, it seems like a huge jump, but it's the claim that Paul makes. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, he says this way. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. He's like, look, everybody is in trouble with God because everybody's sinned, right? Everyone's unrighteous. And this is how he describes it. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God's shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. He's like, look, everybody in the world should be able to look out at creation to see like the power and the wonder, the beauty, and like the intricacy of creation. They should all be able to look at that and say, there's a creator here. Like there's a God here. There's something much greater than me that made all this. Paul says, everyone should be able to see that. No one has any excuse. Like it's clear to everyone. But this is like for Paul, this is the reason everyone has like failed that. This is what he says in verse 21. For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And he goes on to talk about how God gave them up to all sorts of unholiness because that's the path they were choosing. But Paul's very, like, he wants everyone to know, like, the start of this whole, like, dissension into, like, darkness starts with, although they saw the power of God, they didn't honor him or give him thanks. That's the start of it, right? It's the little things, right? It's not like one day everyone's like, you know what? I think I'm going to decide to be a heretic. It's like, that's not how you wake up and start your day. You start your day and you stop thinking, I'm grateful for what God's done for me. You stop counting the blessings that God's given you. And slowly over time, you're ungrateful. And you stop seeing the greatness of God and you start seeing the greatness of yourself or how it looks to you. And you find yourself in all sorts of trouble. But Paul says, look, watch out for people who are ungrateful, he writes to Timothy. He says, the reason this world is so messed up is because people should know God, but they don't give him thanks. They don't honor him. This is the picture that Paul gives to us. And so the point we need to make is that regular practice of thanksgiving shapes our hearts and minds, and it forms who we are, right? This is to summarize this picture of the New Testament church. What is it that the New Testament church did about gratitude? This is it. Regular practice of thanksgiving. We talked about this. Practice makes permanent. Every single week, they came together to worship, and what did they do? They gave thanks at the Lord's Supper. They sing with thankfulness in their hearts. Paul, every time he writes a letter to someone, what does he say? I thank God for you. I'm thankful for what you do for me. It's who they are. It's their practice, right? It's not just an idea. It's not just like a thought or like some kind of movement. It's who they are. It's the things that they do. And they do it over and over and over until it becomes like, it shapes their heart, right? It shapes who they are. That's what the first Christians did. That's what the first disciples of Christ did. And so for us, it's like, how do we replicate that? How do we become like those first followers of Christ? And I've just got a couple suggestions here. These are supposed to be just like very practical. What I don't want to do with this lesson is be like, here's this big, 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 incredibly important idea. Be thankful to God. Have a good Sunday. Like, see ya, you know? How is it that we do this? Because what we talked about with all of these examples, all these passages, is that it wasn't an idea for Paul. It wasn't just like a concept for the early church. It was the things that they did. Right? It was the practices that they made. And doing those things over and over ingrained that gratitude into their heart. So how do we practice thankfulness? Instead of just thinking about it, instead of just like being reminded, and it's like, oh man, I should do that more. How do you do that though? How do you be a thankful person? I've just got three thoughts that I have found to be helpful, that I've talked to other people about, and they have found useful. And then the lesson will be yours. The first here is daily lists. I want to recognize that people are different. Some people are like list people, like everything they do is like written down in a notebook or like on like the phone, right? It's like their list. They like, that's how they organize their whole day. I'm not a list person. Maybe you are. And if so, like this is the one for you. Even if you're not, this is a great practice. Okay. Every single day, try and write a list of what you are thankful for. It's as simple as that, okay? This is not about praying about it even. This isn't about telling other people about it. This is self-contained, just for you. Write down what you're thankful for. Like write it out. We have this song in our songbooks. I'm still learning like the regional songs. There are songs that like we sing in Missouri that like I go other places and they've never heard of it. So maybe this is out of nowhere for you guys. Count Your Blessings. You guys sing that one? I'm seeing nods. That's good. That song talks about this great wisdom that I have not done very often, right? It's like when you're down, when you're blue, I think is the way the song talks about it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Like write them out. If you actually try to write out all of your blessings, it would be very hard to be as upset as you are, right? Which is great wisdom, but like you put that into practice, it's really powerful. If you write out what it is you're thankful for. And the idea behind this is to develop an eye that looks for the good things, right? When you're writing a list every day of what you're grateful for, you're training yourself to look for the blessings God's given you. Because maybe the first couple of days, like you take all the easy ones, right? It's like, well, I'm thankful for these people in my family. I'm thankful for like my brothers and sisters, whether in Christ or by blood, right? You're like, you get all like the big ones out of the way. You get to like week two and it's like what else am I thankful for? Like I've got all the big stuff out. And then like you start to look a little closer. You start to look at the smaller things. And like you're training yourself to look for God's blessings. And how much more can we serve God and to be grateful children of His, but to try and notice all the things He does for us, right? Like let's not have any of His blessings be lost on us, because God does so much for us, even that we may not be aware of. Let's try and be aware of them, right? And so a couple helpful things with this idea specifically. Set an attainable goal, right? Maybe don't sit down and say, all right, you know what? I really need to be more thankful. Every day I'm going to write down 30 things I'm thankful for. That's like, that you're setting the bar too high, because you're going to try and do 30 things. And then Tuesday you're going to get busy because you haven't worked this into your schedule. Like if this is a new thing for you, you haven't made time for this. So then you miss a couple days and then you think, oh, I haven't done this yet. I'm failing already. And then like you give up. So don't do that. Start small. Work your way into it and build up a habit. So maybe it's like, maybe for like a first week, it's like, I'm gonna write down one thing a day. Like before I go to bed, I'm just gonna try and remember, right? Set a small goal that's attainable. And then once you get regular at it, like crank those numbers up, right? I'm gonna write down 5 things. And it can be whatever. I'm thankful that I got to talk to my friend today. I'm thankful that I have these friends in my life that you've made possible, God. I'm thankful for the food that I've had to eat today. I remember it's endless, right? All it's like what James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Every good thing you enjoy, like everything, it's from God. Even the things we wouldn't think is like heavenly gifts, right? It's like, well, this isn't a religious spiritual gift, so like you disconnect it, but like God gives all good things. There's nothing good that doesn't come from Him. I remember I had a very humbling experience once. I went to get a coffee with a friend of mine in Tennessee. And like, it was like, we didn't get food. We just got coffee. And like, they bring the coffee out. And I was like, I was tired. So I was like slurping it. I was like ready to go. And my friend like stopped. And he didn't make a big deal of it. He's a very humble guy. But he stopped and he prayed before he drank his coffee. And I remember just feeling like a buffoon. I was like, what in the, like, why didn't I do that? You know, like, man. And the thing is, like, we pray for meals. We pray before meals. And we're like, thank you for providing this food for me. Like, thank you for giving me what I need. I'm grateful for that, God. And that's like a practice. But God gives all good things. And it's not like, well, I'm just grateful. And it's like a habit. Like, I pray before I eat. It's a normal, like, Christian thing. My friend saw it as, this is something I'm thankful for. Like God's given me this and I'm gonna express that. And so like look for those small things. You know, maybe it's not every day like this huge emotional like thank you for carrying my burdens. We should thank Him for that. But maybe it's just the small things, right? Thank you that I got to enjoy this afternoon walk with a friend of mine. Thank you that I have this tea to drink, right? Like that warms me up on a somewhat cold day, right? Make these small lists and then train yourself to see the good things God gives us. And the next suggestion is about sharing in thanks. okay? So the first one is just self-contained, just writing down things for you that you're thankful for. The next one is taking that out to other people, right? Tell people that you're thankful for them. I have this like habit I'm trying to break of appreciating things about people and telling that to other people and then never telling the person that I appreciate that like I'm thankful for them, right? Like I would go over to like for example, Eric and Whitney had me over last week. We had s'mores. That's like my favorite thing in the world. I was like out of my mind, right? And maybe like, for example, I'll go to 15 people and say like, Eric and Whitney, like they're so hospitable. Like they're so kind. And then like maybe I forgot to thank them. And it's like, what am I doing? Like that's the person I'm actually talking about, right? So for us, I don't know if you have this similar thing. Be intentional about thanking other people, right? When Paul writes letters to like everyone he writes to, he starts off with the very first thing, I'm thankful for you, right? Like, I'm thankful for what you do for me. Tell people that. You have to make a habit of that. Practice makes permanent. And we have some wonderful, wonderful people here. And we all have wonderful people like across this country and the world that we're thankful for, that do so much for us, right? Express that to them. Because it has multiple purposes. For one, you're expressing gratitude, right? Which is glorifying to God. It's edifying to yourself. It's like you're setting that practice in yourself. You're building that other person up, right? You're encouraging them. You're saying, I'm thankful for what you do. What you do is not like unseen. It's not underappreciated. Like I see what you're doing and I really appreciate that. Thank you. You're building them up and you're encouraging them. Like you're reminding them, maybe I should thank other people too, right? Like that meant a lot to me when they said that to me. I should then share that. Like there's so many things that come that like go out in different directions from telling someone you're grateful for them, right? And again, like this can be something big or like small. It can be like, hey, thank you for recommending this service or this doctor or something. Thank you for having me over. Thank you for talking to me about this. Like express it, like make a habit of expressing it. That's the pattern we see with the early Christians. And it's so powerful and it's needed, right? So you make a list for yourself. You train yourself to be thankful and to look for God's blessings. You share it with others. You tell people you're grateful for them. Maybe like in your lists, make like a little calendar. I've got a dry erase calendar in my room, or if you just have one online or something. Put a name on each day. And whenever it's the 23rd, you call someone up and you say, hey, I'm really thankful for you. Or you text them, like even easier, right? You just say, I'm thankful about this. Like, I'm glad we're friends. That really means a lot to me. It's these small words that add up and they build up. Like this is who God's people are. They express gratitude to each other. The final suggestion I have is written prayer, which I have found to be extremely, extremely useful. And this is something that may be new to you, but I really, 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 if nothing else, encourage you to try this one, okay? A lot of times when we pray, I think, at least the ways that I've seen individually with other people or especially in worship, we don't pray a lot of pre-written prayers. We do sometimes. Sometimes you'll see someone come up for worship and they'll have like a piece of paper or they'll bring their Bible up and they'll like pray out of a psalm. That's great. That's really, really good. And when you don't, that's fine as well. But there's immense value in writing out your prayers to God, like keeping them in one place. I don't know if you've ever had this. There's a horrible experience that I hope that you haven't had. I've had it a lot where you start praying to God. And maybe this is even more like if you're praying just like in your head, you know, if you're not even like using words out loud, if you're just like doing one of those numbers, you're praying. And then you start thinking about things you're trying to express to God, and you start thinking and you're praying, and then you get lost. And then like a couple minutes later, you're like, oh, I was praying. Like I didn't even finish the prayer. Like, I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that. It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling. You're like, how am I so thoughtless? Like what in the world? That doesn't happen when you write out your prayers. You have something to follow, right? So that helps with organization. But more than that, when you articulate like exactly what it is that you're thinking, It helps you to become very intentional. Like, what is it that I'm thankful to God for? Like, write it out and you keep it, all right? And that gives you something to look back on, all right? I've got a journal that's kind of just like a brain dump. I write all sorts of stuff in there. I write notes, I write lists for groceries. I write prayers in there. I doodle. When I write prayers in this journal, though, I dog-ear the page in this journal. And so I can always find these prayers that I've written. They're all dog-eared. And what's been incredibly, incredibly powerful to me is I'll look back at prayers that I wrote a couple months ago, right? And I'm thinking, like, I'm looking at what I was praying about, what I was asking God for help with. And a couple months later, I can look at that prayer and see how God has answered that for me. And how this, what used to be this huge problem that I was praying like fervently about, is now like I found peace about it. And so it's not like I prayed about it in the moment. It's like, God, I really need your help with this. And then like you forget about it as time goes on and your life's busy. You look back at what you've asked for and you see what God's done for you. And you think, like, I see it. Like, I see it come full circle. So when you write out your prayers, and you, like, I'm not saying like do this for everything. I don't want it to become some kind of like rote thing, but like make a habit of it. Like write out a prayer a week or something, or every other week. Write them out so that you have the ability to look back and see how God's blessed you, right? Like maybe you were going through a really hard time a few months ago and you were praying about it really fervently. And now that you're doing a lot better, you read those prayers and you see like, wow, like God has truly brought me through this. Like, I'm so thankful for that, and I'm glad I haven't forgotten. Let us not be people who are blessed by God and forget. It's a tragic scenario. It happens all the time. Let us be people who are grateful to God in every circumstance. Let us be people who are thankful even when we ask for things. We're thankful in worship, as we sing, as we share in Christ. Let us be people who are thankful and have not forgotten God's blessings to us. So, you know, try the daily lists. Try sharing thankfulness with others and telling them you're thankful for them. Try writing out your prayers every now and then. These are things that I have found to be helpful, and I've talked to other people who have suggested some of these. They're like, this has really helped me a lot. Try and make a practice of them. We talked at the beginning of this lesson. Practice makes permanent, right? Let us be a people who are permanently grateful, always grateful. Because God has done so much for us. And it's because of what God's done for us that all of us are here. That all of us even know each other, right? We have a very mixed crowd here of all sorts of people from all sorts of places and ages and like jobs, all sorts of things. And we're all brought together because of God's goodness, because of his great mercy to us. There's so much to be thankful for. So let's be a people of thanks who are characterized by it. That's who they are. If you're thinking about what God's done for you and you want to respond to that, if you need help in something, if you feel like you need encouragement, we want to help you with that right here with this invitation. And even more than that, while we're all singing this song, let's consider what we read this morning and sing with thankfulness in our hearts. Even as we sing this sort of like invitation type song, let's be grateful that God always has the door open for his children. That God's patience is unending. Let's sing with thankfulness as we are a people of thanks. If there's anything we can do for you, please come up to the front. We'll now stand and sing our last song.